introduction this morning. Great to be back after 25 years. I have visited you from time to time, and I see a number of changes. You've got very high tech. There's two things that haven't changed. The first thing is the chat. I think I started that about 30 years ago, and I see you haven't changed it since. And there's a little lady down the front here that I've seen for probably about 60 years, and I don't think she's aged a day. So it's great to see Annie. Great to be with you. We left here 25 years ago. I'd been working with New Zealand Insurance as an assistant manager, and we went up to Auckland. We really didn't know what we were doing going up there, and we asked the elders here to give us advice, and we decided we would go. And I can't tell you the whole story at the moment, but I got into office design. I had over 100 offices to redesign and shift and do all sorts of things following the merger with the New Zealand Insurance and South British Insurance. And I want to tell you young folk today particularly that the things that you learn as young people and as you learn through your lives, God can use. And that's part of my message today. Our message is that we're going to do mission in action. Why did I learn to do administration jobs? Why did I learn to design offices? Well, I designed a church, helped design a church. 20 years ago, we built a new church at North Cross. We've outgrown it now. We started with 80, and now we've got something like 600 when we count the children and the young folk. Now we're designing the next part of the church, and so the design comes into it. And I want to tell you this morning that the things that God has given you, the abilities, the skills that you have, are the things that God can use. And as we go through our talk this morning, you'll see a little bit more of what I'm saying. Linda has been used very widely now in Mainly Music. They have three Mainly Musics during the week, and we have nearly 150 families reached by Mainly Music. God gave us this instruction. Jesus said to us, "Go ye and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." That was a command that he gave when he was here alive on earth. Things have got hard, but I like this quote here. "It is not so much the case that God has a mission for his church in the world as that God has a church for his mission in the world. Mission is not made for the church. The church was made for mission, God's mission." I have a number of activities that I'm involved with up in Auckland, and one of them is the Auckland Partnership of Assemblies, which came out of the Strength and Unity, which you heard about recently. And we have about 50-plus churches in our little group up there. Some of them are what we would call basic assemblies. Some of them are community churches, and some of them are churches outside our group but want to fellowship with us and have the benefit of the things that we have. And some of our churches are very small. I spoke at one recently, and there were six. I speak at some of them, and they're obviously much bigger. And one of the things that was mentioned before is that there's a transition between a church that's probably 100, and as it grows, it gets more and more difficult. In our church at the moment at North Cross, we have a team of 10. About 5 of them are paid, and 5 of them are interns studying, and they get support for doing their internship. We have a church next door, though, that's called City Impact. And I believe they've got just close on 100 staff. What happens, though, is you get more and more staff, your giving goes down. I've always used this as a great example, that when I was here originally, we used to give 80% to missions. Now I'm involved in the mission team in Auckland, and we give 10%, and we really struggle because of the salaries. And so that's a wee problem that we have as we move on. The world is changing very, very fast. You can see some colours on the map. The darker the colour, the more persecution and the more problems there are for Christians. And you can see right across there to Papua New Guinea and Indonesia. Do you realise that 500 of Christian churches have been burnt down in recent times, and a number have been murdered for their faith? And so I want to talk a wee bit this morning about the problems facing Christians and missions in the world today. This is a recent list put out of the churches of the countries where persecution is the worst. And you'll see some of the countries that I'm going to talk about this morning. Uzbekistan is number 16. The previous year it was number 8. So that means that 8 countries have got worse in 12 months. Turkmenistan, 19. Azerbaijan, 38. Tajikistan, Kazakhstan, and Kyrgyzstan. Now this is going to be a good geography lesson for you young folk. I can just about pronounce most of them. And these are the countries that missionaries just cannot get into. Very, very difficult now to send missionaries to these countries. And so what do you do? Well, I'm going to explain one way of getting over it in a moment. Persecution takes all sorts of forms, and I'm going to talk about some of them as I go through my talk today. Physical and verbal abuse often happens. Imprisonment. A number of the people that we work with have been put in prison at different times. Haven't come across a kidnapping yet, but very, very many bribes and lies. They get people to sign papers so that they can put people into prison. False accusations. All sorts of problems. Deportation. And I'll talk about that in a moment. Destruction of property. Every time a pastor is put in prison, they take his laptop or his computer, they take all his CDs, all his Bibles, all his books, they take absolutely everything to do with Christ, and they destroy it. Christians or anybody else in the Western world takes one Quran and does anything to a Quran, and you've got thousands marching in the streets all around the world protesting. We don't do anything. We don't say anything. Many times we don't even know. Fines. They fine virtually everybody they arrest. And they don't fine them a small amount. They might fine them something like 2 or 3 years' salary. Torture. Torture is becoming quite irrelevant in some places now. And murder. And I'll explain about one of our people that was murdered. And so these are just some of the things that are happening to the Christians. Aren't you glad you're living in Invercargill? Now, when we went up to Auckland, I was invited to join Slavic Gospel as the secretary for the trust, or for the council as it was in those days. And I served for 10 years as the secretary for the council. And then 10 years ago, we took over the leadership. And Linda and I are on the trust and council members. I'm also the international secretary for Slavic Gospel, and join with the other countries that are involved in the work. This is our family, and I'm showing you this because many of you will know us and know of it. That little guy there was the guy that drove Eddie Winter mad. That's our son Aaron. He has a daughter and a son, and Madeline, his wife. Here's Dave and Kerry. For those of you who know, they were serving in Thailand for 12 years. And here's Bom and Beale. This was taken a year ago, and Bom has grown, and Beale is now taller than Linda. And this is her other daughter, Margot, and Reuben, and their two children. They're travelling the world at the moment, and we're hoping to meet them in Italy end of next month. So that's our family. It's grown. The three that we took with us have now become a few more. We have a senior pastor from the Howick Baptist Church who is our president, and he's the one that I'm going to be travelling with, as I tell you later. These are the countries that we're now involved in. We started off in Russia and Ukraine, and we've gradually moved into Eastern Europe and particularly into Central Asia, these Stan countries. Stan just simply means country. And we work with the Baptist churches. Under communism, there was the Brethren Assemblies, and there was the Baptist churches. The communists made them come together, and they let them have one or two show churches, if you like, to say to the world, well, we've got churches here. But the whole leadership for the rest of the countries were cleaned out, were killed. And for 70 years, they had no Bibles. They had no hymn books. They had no commentaries. They had nothing. And our leader, our founder, Peter Deinecker, started a work in HCJB in Ecuador. And he preached the first gospel messages from HCJB. And so the pastors and the people in the churches, there weren't churches, but the people in the fellowships, they would write down the headings, and on Sunday they would get that sermon. And the dear ladies would be sitting beside their little radios, their little valve radios, and they would be writing out, and over the radio would come, "In the beginning, God," and they would write it down. And another lady would be writing it down, and another lady would be writing it down, and they gradually built up a Bible. Could you imagine? Bit by bit, day by day, and they formed their Bibles. And then they sang hymns, and they wrote down the hymns. And when I was in part of Ukraine recently, they gave me a hymn book, handwritten. All the hymn books had been handwritten. All the Bibles were handwritten, because they were not allowed to have Bibles. And so this is what Russia happened, and then freedom came. And it was freedom for a short time, particularly in these other countries. Russia, not too bad. Now, just a wee bit of a geography lesson again. These are the countries that I'm going to be talking about this morning.
Russia up here, Belarus, Ukraine, and then down here to Georgia, Armenia, Azerbaijan, Kazakhstan, a very, very big country, Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan, Tajikistan, and Kyrgyzstan. So there's all the stands there above Afghanistan and Ukraine, Iran, and Pakistan over here. And then you've got China right through here. So that gives you a wee idea of where it is, the Black Sea over here. And
that's the countries that I'm going to very quickly run through this morning. Russia has 143 million. They used to have 150 million, but they're dying out fast. Lack of work, lack of good food, good living style, and they were 150 million. They're now down to 143 million. I'm not going to talk about some of the people that I'm showing you, but these are people that we support as we go through. Here's an example. We have two main themes that we run. One is church planting, and I'm going to talk mainly about that this morning, and the other is orphanages. There is 750,000 children in orphanages in Russia alone. The living conditions in some are excellent. The living conditions in others are absolutely appalling. When you get sick and they don't think they can fix you, they put you in a death room and they leave you there. They don't feed you, they don't give you any medicine, they leave you there to die. Some of the orphanages have wonderful people looking after them, and they've allowed our folks to go in from the churches and run programs. Now, about 50 of these orphans have graduated through the orphanages and are now in full-time work. And here are two sisters that we support, and we've just financed her a new coat and boots. They have nothing to live on, and so we're able to supply that sort of thing. There's a Christian school, the only Christian school in the whole of Russia, and we have a project there. The local Russian Christians in Auckland also support this work. At the moment, we're looking at water filters for a prison in Vladivostok, which is right over on the Pacific coast. And then by doing these sort of projects, they are able to take the gospel in and run programs. Ukraine beyond Russia, 46 million people. And we have church planting going on there. And I'm going to talk a wee bit about church planters because that's a very important part of our life and very important part of what we're doing. Now, there's two families there that I want to talk about. We're going to talk about this family up here, and we're going to talk about this family down here. They're all doing good work, but I want to just show you what a church planter does. Peter, I've stayed with him a number of times when I've been over there, he's in a village. Very, very few people. This is his neighbours. So he can't growl about the parties, but he can growl about the cow making a noise. And that's the sort of territory that they live in. This is the main highway to church. And this is in the dry season. Can you imagine this under a metre of snow, or perhaps 2 metres of snow? Most of you came in a car today, but some of them come on the back of a cart. And these dear old ladies sit on the back of the cart and get pulled by a horse and come to church. The 90-year-olds get on their bikes. They're quite fit. And so they ride their bikes to church down the bumpy road. Their hands are twice the size of mine. When you shake them, they're like a bricklayer's hands. They're rough because they've been toiling in the garden. And so they have gardens and a few hens, and that's how they operate. The Howick Baptist Church support one of our church planters, Valeri, and I want to just show you very, very briefly what this family have achieved. I was there first in 2005, and that was the outside of their church. Well, it got a bit worse. We had a little church service there, and one of the things that we do is we supply the widows with food parcels. They live in absolute poverty, and so we give them some basics, particularly at Christmas time. But anyway, we had this church service, and that's what the church looked like. And they were able to pull an old house down and build a new church, and there's the new church. Late at night, so I didn't get a good photo of it. But look at this. 7 years later, and look at the children. Where do they get them from? I have no idea. But from villages around the country, they've rounded these kids up to their children's program. And so that's church planting, that's church growth, and that's exciting. Another church that was being built when I started, and here it is finished, and there's their children's program. And so the children come to these programs because there's absolutely nothing else for them to do, nothing else for them to go. There might be a picture theatre in some distant village, but nothing else. So they come to these programs, they hear the word of God, and many of them come to the Lord. Unfortunately, as they get older, there's no work in the villages, 70%, 80% unemployment often, and so they have to move to the schools further apart, and then they go into full-time work. Many of the boys get jobs, very menial jobs. They might be storemen, they might be guards on the door, that sort of thing. From the orphanages themselves, most of the boys get into trouble when they leave the orphanage. They've had no life skills, they've got nothing to start with. And unless the Christians follow them up, they have a very, very hard life. Many of the girls go into prostitution. Now, what I'm talking about, this, there's a tape out there in the handout, which I want you to take with you when you go, on the end of the table. I want everyone to take one if you would, because I don't want to send them back in the plane. So please take one. But inside is a DVD, and it tells the story of some girls who have come to the Lord and what's happened with their lives. And so there are some wins, but there are lots of lives. And about a lot of dead, sad things. About 10% commit suicide soon after they leave the orphanages. And at the moment, Russia is trying to get rid of all the orphanages and put everybody out into foster homes. Foster homes are not available. People don't want them. That's why they're giving their kids away. And so they're really, really struggling. And it's very, very sad. They've stopped them going to America. Most of the kids that went to America or came to New Zealand had health or mental problems, and they were looked after. Now there's nobody to look after them. Many of the kids, when they get put into foster homes, will become slaves. I've seen a little boy of 9-year-old who was chained up like a dog and let off when he had to do his work. And then he was chained up again. And he was in another world. He just couldn't even look at me. And so we have this slavery. In one orphanage, 200 kids are in this horrible orphanage, which was a prisoner of war camp during the First World War. Never had a thing done to it in nearly 100 years. Mattresses about this thin, covered in rust because of the iron, the wooden frame, the metal frames that they're on. And that's the life that these kids live. All taken off their parents but for ill treatment. This was an old bakery, and they're turning this into a church, and again, an exciting thing that they do. And this is one of the things that's happening in Auckland particularly, that they're not building new churches. They're taking over warehouses, they're taking over all sorts of buildings and turning them into churches. We live on a peninsula called Wangaparoa, and there's a whole heap of churches now, and I could tell you a little more about that. In Kavirtsi, which is a suburb of Lutsk, which is one of the main cities in Ukraine, the little babies are born, and many of them have problems. Why? Mum was on drugs, mum drank herself almost to death, and these little kids are affected. Also Chernobyl. Chernobyl was the most horrible thing that could ever happen. Hundreds of thousands probably of children are affected by Chernobyl. The cloud went across Belarus, and I'll show you our people that are involved in that, and it went around the world three times. And the things that are happening with the children is shocking. The earth, the ground, is contaminated. The water is contaminated. The water has to be brought in by horse and cart in many of these places. And here's a group of these children who have been affected because their mum neglected their health while she was pregnant. And the local Baptist church has built this beautiful school and orphanage, and they have about 216 children in this orphanage at the moment, school. And the Muslim children are lining up on the waiting list because this is the only Christian school in the whole of Ukraine that's sponsored by the government. And they're being treated and educated so well. And we've supplied the English classroom. The Belarus is up on the top again. And it's a very, very... It's the last of the Western European dictators. And it's a terrible country. To get a church registered, you've got to have 20 members. And so you sign up 20 members in your church. And then we've got the Perrys here. They're farmers, you know. And they would get their tractors burnt, they would get their cows killed, they would get anything done to stop them from signing up. So they would withdraw. So then you're down to 19. And then they'd go and do something horrible to somebody else. And so it's very, very difficult to get a church registered in these countries. This is a new church planter that we've just taken on, and we're looking for support for Vladimir. Now, Kazakhstan, next in size to France, a very, very big country, 17 million. And we're involved in a lot of projects there, but I just want to pick up one. When the orphans leave the orphanages, they have really struggled to find work. And this crowd were very, very good. They decided to make peanut butter. Now, you know, you miss your Marmite, but they didn't have peanut butter. And so they bought a little machine that we financed, and they're making and selling peanut butter. And so that was one little job that we thought was going to be exciting, but they had great difficulty even getting permission to do that. Kyrgyzstan is a new country that we're involved in. And I will explain this, that God has some tremendous plans when you get into missions.
there was a lady who lived in Vladivostok in Russia, and she came up to New Zealand. Her name is Anetta, and through a wonderful system, we got in touch with each other, and she's now our field representative. And because she has a Russian passport, she can visit all these countries. And all I do is write her a letter of introduction and say, Anetta is representing me, talk to her. And so we're getting all these wonderful projects directly from her and reports because she's able to go into these countries. And that's the president of the country. Now, I want to tell you a couple of quick stories here. See the lady down here? Tamara. Tamara's husband was shot dead outside his church. A Muslim didn't like him, and so he just shot him. Tamara had real trouble. She had very little income, and her teeth were giving her a real problem. So she went to a backyard dentist, and he made a real mess. She couldn't even chew. A couple of years ago, I was going to Ukraine, and her daughter lived in Ukraine, and she was having a baby. And it so happened that Tamara was going to go to Ukraine, and I was going to be in Ukraine. You can imagine, it's almost impossible to get money to some of these people. And so this was God's planning, and I thought, this is just brilliant. And so we made arrangements that she would come up to our office in Ukraine, and I would be there, and I had the money to give her for her teeth. Well, she went up to Moscow first, and then she came back to Ukraine, and she caught a cold, got very ill in the train, because it wasn't heated, but she couldn't afford probably a decent cabin, and she was too ill to come. And I said to one of our staff members in Ukraine, I told him the story, he said, don't worry, Richard, I've got it all solved. And we drove down the road, and there was a church meeting going on. We had a pastor's conference, and the pastor was there preaching on the side of the road. He grabbed me by the shoulder, put him in my car, gave him the money, and he said, tomorrow that money will be delivered to the village where he lives. And that's where Tamara was. And she got her teeth fixed, and that's the sort of thing. So God has got things planned well ahead of time for us. Over in the top corner is the church planter that we support from our church in at North Cross. And they live in a very, very cold, very, very unfriendly place. All the Russians have moved out of these countries now. They've all gone back to Russia, and there's very few Russian-speaking people left. All these countries are starting their own languages now. Originally, Stalin made them all learn Russian, and that's very, very handy, because when they're going to Moldova later in the year, go to some of these countries that all speak Russian. But in time, that will happen. As the children come through, they'll all be learning their own languages. And Tajik is the language of these people. And so they've got a very, very difficult job. Everybody in this town is a Muslim, and they're working away. This is a typical building that the communists built, and this is in the top of Tajikistan. And how would you like to live in one of those places? Most of the men have moved away. Some send some money back, some don't bother. And there's starvation there of a great deal. We'd supplied them with a little cooker to start with so that they could feed some of the children. And it grew and grew and grew, and they just couldn't cope. So they went to a government kitchen, and this looked very, very good. But once the government got them all into their own kitchens, their own property, then they closed them down and said, thou shalt not feed children. Just as simple as that. How can you not feed children? And that's what happened. And so they were kicked out and closed down. But Christians don't always sort of take the law literally. And so they carried on, and they're making the food. And you'll see up here is the food parcel, and that's a Christian text. And so Bible verses go out on the food packs. And then they sit down and they tell them about the gospel in the home after they've had their food parcels. And there's a Children's Hunger Fund in America, and they're sending over food parcels now. And there's quite a lot of work going on with the churches taking out food to the poverty. Currently, if you'll get our magazine out there afterwards, you'll see this. Here is a widow, and they started building this house for her, and the guy that was doing it died, and she's living in one bedroom at the moment with a leaky roof, and you'll see there that, and we're trying to get her house put together for her. So these are the needs that these dear Christians suffer. Turkmenistan is right down the bottom. It's probably one of the toughest countries. My administrator was born in Turkmenistan. When she got to high school, do you know what they made them do? They had to go out and pick cotton. That was the project. So all the school kids went out and picked cotton. And they learned a bit of schoolwork as well. Well, anyway, having come from there, we've been involved. Now, this is how God works. I was in this huge conference in Ukraine a couple of years ago, and there was over 1,000 people there. And I walked out the door, and it was absolutely crammed full because there were bookstalls everywhere. And I came across a face. I only had a tiny little picture of him in my office, but it was this man up here.
And I went up to him and I said, "Is your name? Do you come from?" And he looked at me, because he'd understand his name, he'd understand the name of his town. And obviously, what's this funny looking white guy from, I don't know where, the name tag on, I guess. What's he, how does he know me? So I got our interpreter to come over, and we found out all about him. And we've been supporting this church planter for a number of years. I will never get into these countries, never meet him again probably. But I met him, and doing that, I met a senior pastor up here, and I met this man here. Now, Russell was an imam. An imam is the top priest, if you like, in the Muslim world. And he became a Christian. He lived in a hut with a cow and a pig outside, and that was all he lived on. Every time he got a job and they found out that he was a Christian, he was sacked. They will not have Christians employed. And so we're supporting him now, and he's involved in youth work. Our senior pastor was arrested. A whole group was arrested. One of the dear old ladies wouldn't go to the police station, and so they bashed their hands until they were leaving. And they left her there. And his car was written off. We're not quite sure of the details. And we were able to supply a vehicle for them. And here is another family that we've just taken on to support. Now, for a number of years, we got involved in Uzbekistan. They found, the local church found children living under buildings and living in tunnels. They had these big tunnels with the heat pipes going through. And they found these children and they started feeding them, and we were supplying the funds. And so that was good until they got 50, 60, 70 children. And we thought, well, it's time we bought a house for them. So we bought a building, and they started developing into a very nice shelter or orphanage, if you like. And things were going along smoothly. They just finished it, and the government came in and they closed it down. Now, the government will use any excuse to close the thing down. In Kazakhstan, they've just declined the church building because it's not 2 metres from the next building. The next building site is empty. If the fire alarms aren't working properly, well, haven't got enough, they'll bring in every excuse they can to close the churches down. And so they closed this orphanage down, and they threw Pavel into prison. He was on a cold floor, no blanket, no clothing for 15 days, one meal a day. And he was in with 20 other basic criminals, if you like. And that was what happened to him. And so these guys are put into prison, they're fined heavily, and they're really punished. Now, I'll talk about them in just a moment, but this lady up here, her husband was put into prison for 4 years. He's got out of prison, but the KGB equivalent are on his back the whole time. And so we're helping her to do some study so that she can perhaps take over some of the work. Now, this is a couple of things that we have to do to help these people in these sort of countries. These two pastors that I've been talking about started a wee beekeeping business, and they said, if only we could get the funds to do beekeeping. Now, my grandfather actually was a beekeeper here in Southland, a very well-known beekeeper in his day. He was also a builder, and he built Southland Boys High School, if you younger folks know that, you know where that is. But anyway, I was interested in beekeeping. There's a long family history in that. And so we've been able to buy all the hives, all the equipment, a van, a trailer, and they're doing beekeeping. So when the KGB come to them and say, how are you getting your money? They can say, we're getting it from bees. Well, they're getting it from bees, but they're also getting it under the counter from ourselves. And so that's beekeeping. Now, every time they get arrested, all the Bibles and every gear is taken. Now, this is a tab, but it's very similar to the Kindle that we have. And so we've been buying Kindles or e-readers for them. About this size, we bring them in from China, and they bring them into country empty, and then they download them with their Bibles and their commentaries and their training material and everything that they might want. And so they're using these. That's much easier to hide than a stack of books. So that's the project that we're working on at the moment. Now, I see that you're working with the Gospel for Asia. Gospel for Asia are very close to our office in the North Shore. We work very closely with them, even though they're mainly in India. We work with them, but also there's the Bible League. We work very closely with them. What the Bible League are doing at the moment, they're going to produce a little card, an SD card, for the smartphones. And so when it gets tough for this, they'll start putting them in smartphones. They get quite cheaply over there. A bit hard to read the Bible from the smart card, from the smartphone, but can be done. And so these are the things that have to be done now to overcome the persecution and the problems that they've got. This is another church planter that we've just taken on now. These four new ones, or there's two more coming up, they're out there on the counter, and I'd like you, when you go out, if you're interested, just take it away and just think about whether you'd like to pray for them or perhaps even help them. Now, just very quickly, two more countries, Georgia, very pro-Western, but still very, very difficult to work in, and we've got a couple of church planters there. Down the bottom is Armenia. We fed these children and looked after these children for a while, got them all new clothes, and the government shut it down completely. And so this is the problem that we face in these countries to try and work in them. I don't know why God didn't give me a nice, easy country, but he's given me some really, really hard ones to work in. And another country, Armenia, Noah's Ark is somewhere about on the border here with Turkey. And so there's Azerbaijan, 9.5, and our lady field rep is there now, and she'll be coming back with new projects for us, no doubt. Now, just a quick summary, 278 million in the area that I'm involved in. Our English office, UK office, works in other countries like Romania and Moldova and right through that area. About 500 million in total that Slavic Gospel reaches. 90% of the places in Russia still do not have a Bible preaching church. Now, we've got 1,000 churches roughly in Auckland. They've got 1,700 Baptist churches for 145, 146 million. There are some assemblies, there are some charismatic churches, there are some Catholic churches, but very, very few, and they haven't spread out of the main cities. In Ukraine, they've grown very, very fast. There's 3,000 Baptist churches. I don't know how many villages there are, but there are literally thousands of little villages around the place, and they still have not got a Christian witness. And in Central Asia, you can count them on one finger. Some of the places are so sparsely done. Very, very few churches at this stage. The latest thing that's happened is Israel. Those of you who are interested in Bible prophecy will know that the Jews are returning to Israel, and they're returning in a huge numbers. There are now 8 million people in Israel. It's growing fast. You know the problems with the land. They're trying to build houses because the people are coming in. And God is returning his people. And not only is he returning his people, he's taking the gospel back. These Russians, from not necessarily from Russia, but Russians speaking from Central Asia, have learnt all about God. They've become absolutely excited about going back to Israel, but they've taken the gospel with them. And our man, who was in charge of the seminary in Kazakhstan, he's gone back to head up this work. And many of the senior people in government in Israel have come out of Russian-speaking countries. And things are really heating up at the moment. They have never been able to teach Russian language in Israel. Now we have people there, and we're bringing people in from our various seminaries, and they're teaching them Russian. And it's a very, very exciting move. And currently there's about 180 groups that we've made contact with and we're involved with. Already 5,000 Bible study Bibles, big study Bibles, have been handed out in Israel already. So it's very exciting. It's also very dangerous. We thought we might have our conference there this year until we found out that about 70 rockets a day go over where our guy lives. 70 rockets a day. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the noise going over? Is this one going to hit me? And so, not a nice country to be in sometimes. But Jesus said, or the Bible teaches us, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the gracious promise I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. And those days are going to come. Just very briefly, I want to mention the orphanages. Sometimes we're able to put glass in the windows. Sometimes we're able to put something on the floor. Sometimes we're able to do up the toilets. Sometimes we're able to give them textbooks because they don't have textbooks. There's all sorts of things go on. But at Christmas time, this is when we really come to fore. And we send many thousands of dollars over for the children in the orphanages to have a Christmas program and to receive gifts. And to hear some of the children with their gifts. And this is a big part of our ministry. And they get things like toothpaste, toothbrushes, the things that you take for granted. They've never had before. They get gloves, they get socks, they get hats. minus 50 in part of the places that I'm going to show you. Can you imagine being minus 50? I'm going to Siberia this year for a week. And here they are in the snow. This is one of our church planters, Peter, with the children. We also have a Russian language bookshop. And Elena, my administrator, is there. She looks after the Russian because she's Russian-speaking. She does all our translation work, and she works with the local Russian Christians, and so we have a bookshop for them. In September, I'm going over to Moldova for an international conference, and after that, we're going into Russia, and we're going. This is the chairman, Peter, and myself, and we're going from one side of Russia to the other side. Now, those two DVDs for those children's work are in the pack out on the end of the table, and I'd like every family please to take one with you when you leave, because I don't want to fly back with them. So please help yourself to the things that are out there. The word thank you is spasiba, and thank you for having me here today. Linda and I are thrilled to be back with so many friends, and we thank you for the opportunity to bring this message to you and just give you a little bit of an idea of what goes on. The one thing that I wanted to perhaps say in finishing is that God has all sorts of plans for us. And I want to just tell you, this is not a Skype sheet by any means, but I want to just tell you this. I'm involved in the mission side of our church. And I just want to tell you the sort of things that people can do from a church. We have a missionary family in Nicaragua, and we have Jillian Gao in Japan. Besides that, we have a couple involved with the Bible Society, the Patamores, and he's involved in translation. We have another couple involved in missionary ventures, and they're looking after the Pacific area. We have another couple who look after teen training apprenticeships in Romania. We have Linda and I in Slavic Gospel. We have a chaplain who works in the Albany campus. We have a couple, the Cramptons, Jill and Ashley, are working in Fiji. We have two with Destiny Rescue looking after the girls that have been rescued in Thailand. We have an IT expert in Norway with YWAM, and he's currently in Hawaii helping them. We have a nurse on the Mercy ship in Ghana, so nurses can be used too in God's service. We have a lad who's working with Tonga Radio, Christian Radio. We have two girls who are going with their school to Vanuatu. We have a young man who's going to Mozambique to work with the boys who have been caught up in things they shouldn't have. And we have a couple looking at going to Papua New Guinea to do property maintenance among the mission houses. Now, I'm just telling you that list to show you the different opportunities that we have today. The days when you took a missionary and you put him on a ship and he went away for 100 years and you never saw them again are over. Today it can be short trips. Today it can be specialised trips. And to get into some of these countries, if you're a school teacher or if you're involved in some particular trade, you may be able to get in. We have one of our friends that we work with, and she's a physiotherapist, and she's been able to get into Kazakhstan. She's probably one of the few Kiwis in Kazakhstan. We have a lady whose ministry is she's become a professor in one of the universities in Russia, and she is, I think, the only Kiwi left in Russia. To go to Russia now, you're allowed in for 3 months, and you've got to get out again, and they just do not want missionaries. I cannot go to any countries that I've mentioned today, except I've been to Romania, I'm trying to get into Moldova, and it's a very, very difficult thing, and Russia and Ukraine. I've got to be invited by the churches. So the churches invite me and say they're going to be responsible for me. It then goes to the local government, and they'll look at it and say yes or no. Fortunately, they've said yes so far. It comes back here, my passport, and then it's got to go to England for Moldova. It comes back. If I'm going to Ukraine, it goes over to Canberra. It comes back. If I'm going to Russia, it goes down to Wellington and comes back. So you can imagine it takes about 6 to 8 months just to plan a trip like we're doing. And everything can go wrong. The Russians have got a great idea. They put the visas for the Christians on the bottom, and when it sort of gets to the due date, they charge a double. So about $1,000 to get into Russia. The Americans can get in quite well. I can't. So that's a very, very brief rundown of what we're doing. Linda and I will be out there shortly, and if you've got any questions, do ask. But do help yourself to the freebies. And do pray for us. We do need your prayers, and we do thank you for the opportunity of speaking to you this morning. Let's close in prayer. Loving Father, we thank you for the folks here at Rosedale. We thank you for the mission work that they have done over many years and for the support that we've seen today of so many missions and so many people involved in your service. And we pray, Lord, that as they look at mission and action, they will be concerning the things that they could possibly do. You've given us all skills, you've given us all abilities, and we pray that as we go through our lives, you will make these things available to us. It might be through finance, it might be through prayer, but it might be getting up and going. And so, Lord, just bless each person in this congregation. Help them to know you better every day. Help them to serve you better every day. And bless them, we pray, and give you thanks in the name of Jesus, our wonderful Saviour. Amen.